really,
Can you hear me now?
They're really putting the screws to me here. Because once I'm up here, I really enjoy it. I've said to some people that if I had my choice of the way to go, it would be teaching the Word of God and then I drop over right up here. Seriously, that would be the ideal. And I do want to. There's a lot of things I'd like to say. One of them is that we've got an excellent, powerful dose of right division going on in here so far. And a lot of the speakers covered points that are very important. We've heard them so many times in our life, we might not understand the importance of them as fully as we used to. But, you know, I can remember when I was 19 or 20. No, it wasn't in the Stone Age. And, you know, all this about these aged men. I don't know why they're looking at me. But, yeah, I remember what it was like when I was learning about the mystery in my early 20s, when I was 19, 20, 21. And it was awesome, to understand that the Almighty God was showing me this revealed sacred secret and the divisions in the scriptures and how he chose Israel out and all of the facts of the scriptures. And that somebody, I think it was, it's gonna be tough for me to say, but Josh actually mentioned a good thing called freedom. And he said, for the first time, that he was free to take this Word of God and understand it, have it in its proper place. And that's a tremendous gift, it is, whether we know it or not. For us to understand Israel being set aside, and where the correct church or the body of the fullness is today is like a tremendous gift in this place. And it is a fantastic freedom. There's not enough superlatives for me to explain that. So I thought that his word of freedom was very good there. Okay, there's been a lot of great speakers up here, and I'm thankful for them. All right, and I thank the Lord for the privilege of being here. I thank the Lord for the privilege of having this life, because I do understand it's dust. From dust to dust, it is true. And your world, I don't want to belabor this because, oh man, I got 42 minutes. I feel the crunch already. Because, you know, what the world attempts to do in its various ways is they are attempting to eliminate death. They are attempting to eliminate death. Or they're attempting to distract your mind until you die. They're going to make your mind busy until you die so you don't have to confront the realities of life. That is what's going on more so than ever before. You know, I like, I'm an old school guy. I like paper. Ronnie kids me. I might go with my wife to a class and learn how to PowerPoint. Oh, somebody thought that was funny. One day I'm going to stand up here 10 years from now, and I'm going to go hard copy rules while all of your computers will be wiped out by the magnet. But I don't know what I said that for. At all, I had a lesion there. But I'm thankful for this life, that it's going to go from dust to dust, but in between that time, just think of it. If you can put your mind in correct perspective, what the Lord is doing with you in this short span of being born of your mother and then returning to dust. That's what's happening. There's a lot of things that can distract you from that. There's a lot of things that want to pump your mind up so that that's comfortable as you go off the scene. But the fact of the matter is that that is what's happening. And it's unavoidable, another speaker said. It's unavoidable. You're headed for the dirt. And, you're depressed. You need some psychological counseling. No, I don't need psychological counseling. I'm a realist. I face the facts. And that's what the Lord has you to do. Face the facts of life on the planet while your world is running away from the facts. All right? So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have this life, for all you people, for being invited here, my wife and I, and this is truly from my heart. That's what we're thankful about. Okay. Almost broke down on that one. But I will continue. Now let's turn to the book of Philemon. Because that's going to be my message today. On the book, tiny book of Philemon. I got 39 minutes. Oh man, that's not good. That's a small book. Yeah, it's a small book. Okay, let's get to it. Okay, I'm going to open up my message with a statement from Jeremiah 9. Let him or her that glories glory in this, that he or she understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Amen. That's Jeremiah 9:24. And let's look at the book of Philemon. I'll talk a little bit faster here now. Years ago, what I used to do with the book of Philemon is I used to look at it. I might have read about 10 verses in it, and then I would just blow it off. Like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's something about a slave, and oh, Paul's in there, and there's not much truth in there. Let's move on. 2 months ago, for some odd reason, the Lord sat me down and he said, Mike, take a look at the book of Philemon. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I didn't hear a voice out of the heavens. Nothing like that. You know, the Spirit, Holy Spirit had me look at it. And I'm going to tell you that the book of Philemon is an awesome prison epistle. And I'm going to begin to try to explain that to you going into what's there. It's an awesome, beautiful message about one who was a babe in Christ who became an adopted son of God. And if that isn't awesome, I don't know what is. Okay, because we have to realize what is Philemon? Well, it's a prison epistle. All right, when was it written? Well, it was written around the time of Ephesians and Colossians, by the way. All right? So it was written about AD 62 in amongst Ephesians and Colossians. Oh, really? Well, what was going on during then? What was the message? All right, we're going to get to that. Because that, you have to have that in your mind and heart when looking at Philemon. What was the calling going on there? Who was Philemon? Who was Onesimus? Who was the Apostle Paul? What was happening? What was happening here? Okay, so we're going to read it. Oh, and let's move. Okay, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Achipus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Christ Jesus. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels or the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I beseech thee for my child, you blacken out son to the maximum, and you put child there, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, whom I have fathered while I was in prison, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own heart, whom I would have retained with me, get this, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Stop. Okay? So we're gonna take another look at this. We're gonna take a look at what it really is saying underneath it all. Alright? Who was Philemon? Who was Philemon, and what kind of a man was Philemon? And furthermore, what is the gospel? Okay, I don't like the word gospel. I like the good message. Why? Because we've said this many times. There's many good messages. When somebody says, "Oh, I believe the gospel," it's like you're supposed to, get blasted over. Oh, the gospel, which, not being irreverent, they don't know what they're talking about, because there's many gospels. Gospel just means good message. And so what they do in their non-understanding of the word is they lump everything together like it's all one message, but it's not. Because this is the good message of the revealed sacred secret, the mystery hidden in God from mankind until it was revealed through the Apostle Paul. That's what this gospel is. That you have to know. Why is that? Because Philemon knew it. And Paul knew it. And we had a slave, Onesimus. Okay? He took off from Philemon because he was unprofitable. Unprofitable how? Was he a bum as a slave? Did he have a lousy attitude? Was he unprofitable in the faith? Or was he all of the above? Okay, that's left to understand. How was he unprofitable? Philemon knew the mystery. Paul knew the mystery and was preaching it. He was in prison preaching the mystery. His brother Philemon knew it. His brother Philemon had this servant that was called unprofitable. The servant took off. Interesting. Did the servant know the Lord when he took off? Was Onesimus a believer or not? Okay, this is the picture. Note the character of Philemon and the kind of believer he was. He was a fellow laborer of Paul. He provided a place for an assembly in his own house. Probably was somewhat a man of means. Paul always prayed for Philemon because Paul continually hears of Philemon's self-sacrificial faith and true love that he had for the fellow laborers in the truth. What truth? What's the truth going on here? What's the gospel that this slave is associated with? It's the mystery. It's awesome. Seriously, this picture of what's happening here. At least it struck me as that, as we look at this. The hearts of the fellow saints of like faith were revived and bolstered by Philemon and cheered through self-sacrificial love of Philemon. By all counts and from the very words of God's Holy Spirit through Paul, Philemon was a tremendous man of God. And then he has this slave. Okay, so you have one of us. And we know the mystery. How do we react? How do we live? How do we treat other people? Then he has the slave that he has a problem with. Well, that's interesting. We have a man of God that has a household that knows the mystery, has a problem with somebody. And there's agitation. That's interesting. Because you have a man of the mystery that is ahead in this agitation. Okay, it's not some guy that has all these women and slaves and stuff. It's a man that knows the mystery. That is a very important man to the Apostle Paul, the greatest man of God on earth at the time. That's the picture, right? Am I passing out here? No, that's the picture. Stepping back a bit, as reason for clarity, when was Philemon? And what would the like faith of fellow believers be at this time? What would the good message of Philemon, verse 13, be? Well, it would be the revealed sacred secret of God. That's what it was. Philemon is said to be written in AD 62 during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. A prison epistle, therefore. Certainly at this time, the good message of God that the Holy Spirit was making known through the Apostle Paul was the revealed sacred secret. I call it a sacred secret because it was hidden God. Sometimes I don't think we fully comprehend what we've been given, us walking through this planet. We've been given a revealed sacred secret of God that He didn't make known until He set His nation on earth aside. And He chose us out, and we're still here, and we still know this, and He gave us the scriptures to bolster ourselves in this truth. And we have a calling that is at the right hand of the Father, alluded to the fact that it's in the Holy of Holies, in heavenly places in Christ, unspeakable things. Unspeakable realities. They are. I'll come up here and I'll say this every time I'm here, because that is in fact what they are. If we understand who Almighty God is, what we've been given are unspeakable realities in the Holy God of Light. I don't know how to express things as great as He is sometimes. All I can do is try to find the words. All right? So it was a prison epistle. Certainly at this time, the good message that God the Holy Spirit was making known was the revealed sacred secret. Philemon understood it, and the Apostle Paul was preaching it. We have this slave that possibly was a babe in Christ, because Paul calls him a child. He says, "My child," I said in verse 10, "I beseech thee for my child." That's the Greek form technu, which is the genitive case of the word child, which means my child. Technu, genitive, mine, my possession, my child. He was my child in the Lord. And then I'm gonna get a little bit ahead of myself and say this, that in fact, if Philemon dwelt in Colossae, and that's where Onesimus was, and Onesimus the slave takes off, where does he go? Okay, just think about this. Okay, we have a man of the mystery that has the slave. The slave takes off. He might be a believer in the Lord, but he knows Paul. What does he see in the Apostle Paul? What does he see in his master? How is he unprofitable? In the faith? In work? In what? We don't know that exactly. It's a possibility that he's unprofitable in them all. But when he takes off, where does he go? He goes to Rome. 800 plus miles away. Okay, he doesn't have a car. He doesn't have a jet. All right? He's got to go 800 miles, if in fact he's from Colossae, to see the Apostle Paul. Does he go to Rome to try to get lost? Think about it. Does he go to Rome? He's a slave. He takes off. Does he go to Rome and get in with a group of friends that takes off and just gets hidden in society? No, he goes to where the Apostle Paul is. Why does he do that? Why does this slave, unprofitable slave, go to see the Apostle Paul in prison? Why doesn't he just take off and get lost? Think about it. I mean, really think about that, because that is incredible. Isn't it? Isn't it incredible? I mean, why does he go see the Apostle Paul in prison? What I think is this, is I think that he went to the Apostle Paul for a reason, because he saw the Lord in the Apostle Paul. And he eventually learned the mystery from the Apostle Paul there, and then ministered the mystery with the Apostle Paul from prison. Okay, that is actually my study in a nutshell, but I'm going to add to it. But that is the tremendous beauty of Philemon. And he traveled 800 miles plus to do it. And so what compelled this slave to do that? That in itself should make us wonder about this, about the situation, okay? And so, I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm going to say, I'll run across a few things we read. We're going to find, because I have 24 minutes and 40 seconds. That guy, he's interesting, Forrest Cottrell. I spent some time with him and his wife, and I don't know what he said about his kids. I wonder how his kids take him, or his grandkids, I don't know. He's an interesting dude. But I believe that the slave, Onesimus, was a child in the Lord, and that the Apostle Paul fathered him. That's what the Greek brings out. I believe that when the Apostle Paul, according to the Greek, was talking to Philemon, he said to him, I enjoin thee, which means I could order you. That's what enjoins me. Means, or I could command you to do what is convenient, or what is your duty. Because Philemon owed the Apostle Paul for what he knew in the Lord, I believe. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you have this slave that ran away from me, and this I'm hurrying this up. He's come to me, and he's ministering unto me. And now he knows the mystery. And now he went from a child, and he's a brother now. He's a son of God, like we are. And if you ever were a child in the Lord, and now you're a son of God in the Lord, dang it, you know the difference. I mean, seriously, you know the impact of what that glorious reality is. You know the impact of it, and how the Lord has worked with you and shown you things and enlightened your heart and mind, as was being spoken of. That is such a reality. That is such a reality to be enlightened by the living God. And so, Onesimus was eventually enlightened by the living God, and Paul said, hey, you know, Philemon, I'm not going to order you. I'm not going to say to you, I command you to do your duty because you owe me. That's what's going on here. He's saying, but I beg you. I beg you to take Onesimus back, not as a slave, and not as a child anymore. And this is so very important, because I think that Onesimus left as a babe in Christ, and he came back as an adopted son of God. And that's what's going on here. And again, it's striking. It's striking. This is a striking reality. All right, so I'll go into a little bit about what the Greek says about useless. Akrestas. It means basically useless and an unprofitable person. It was said that Onesimus was akrestas. Akrestas. Well, there wasn't said too much in the lexicons about that, but on the opposite, krestas, which means well adapted to fulfill a purpose, pleasant, kind, obliging. I'm reading the opposite of unprofitable. You just take the alpha out and you get the positive of the Greek form. What I'm saying again is, in the Greek, useless is akrestas. Useful is krestas, without the a. Alright? So I found a lot about what being useful is. And so what Onesimus went from is being useless to being well adapted to fulfill a purpose. Pleasant, kind, obliging, gracious. Further, with inference to a gracious attitude and upright in honesty and in truth. And so, whatever was happening with Onesimus, he left akrestas, but he came back krestas. And he left a babe in Christ, but he ended up being an adopted son of the Most High. And I'm going to read a little bit about what that is. All right? What I'm going to do, I'm going to read five scriptures concerning our calling. And I do this for impact. Because he left, maybe, understanding salvation through the blood of Christ. I'm going to give that in conjecture. I'm going to say that I think so because Paul calls him a child. My child. He says, I fathered my child. All right, that's there. That's without a doubt is there. But Paul goes on to say, let's look at verse 15 in Philemon. It says, for perhaps, therefore, he departed for a season that thou should receive him forever. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about the will of the Father. Onesimus departs for a season. Why? Because you can take him back forever. How? In what state? In what state? Verse 16, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Amen. Look at this. Look at it. He was kicked out, or he took off. A slave that took off from a man that knew the mystery. He went 800 miles plus to a man who was instilled with a good deposit of the mystery. What for? Because he was driven by the will of the Father. That's why. That's one of the reasons why. It goes on in verse 16 to say, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so how is he unprofitable? Well, he's going to be profitable both in the flesh and in the Lord when he returns. So I surmise that when he left, he was unprofitable in both. I don't know how, but I believe that he left unprofitable as a servant and as a faithful believer. And he came back profitable in both. And then Philemon, who knew the mystery, was supposed to treat him like a brother. Look at this picture. I mean, seriously. I'm saying that. But think of yourself as a slave owner. Put yourself in the place of Philemon. Put yourself in the place of Onesimus. All right? And then Paul goes on to say, more or less, that if he's done things wrong, I'll repay it. Put it on my account. Okay, so, Onesimus left as a babe in Christ. And he went to Paul in Rome. Again, I don't know how many days it would take somebody to go 800 miles over land and sea, but it's a possibility that's where he came from. And at the end of this, in 16 minutes and 1 second, I'm going to read a compelling scripture. Just to back this up. But let's read a little bit about what Onesimus learned from Paul. Because not only did Onesimus go see Paul in prison, but after he saw him, he ministered to him in the good message. What does that mean? That means that Onesimus ministered along with the Apostle Paul in the mystery. That's what that means. I mean, think about it. Think about this guy. I mean, he's got something about him, even though he was cast off. He's got some character about him, whatever that is that made him do that. He goes to Rome all this way. He could have hidden himself until he died. He goes there, and now he knows the mystery, I believe. And now he's ministering with God's apostle. Think about it. I mean, really, you would say, well, you're blowing this out of proportion. I don't think so. I don't think so, because this is a prison epistle, and this is what's there. Because this Onesimus could have done anything. And this Philemon could have been anybody. He didn't have to know the mystery, but he did. Onesimus could have taken off, but he didn't. Onesimus didn't have to learn the mystery, but he did. And once more, he ministered with the Apostle Paul in it. And he would have stayed there with the Apostle Paul ministering the mystery. I mean, this is phenomenal in my mind. All right, so, what about our calling? 10 minutes of it. This is what Onesimus learned. And I'm going to say this. Certainly what I'm going to read out of the Word of God are among the most far-reaching and astonishing truths ever revealed by the Almighty God to any human heart and any human mind. That's what the mystery is. That is what it is. You know, I'm glad I can still break down because that's what it is. It's too much for us. But nevertheless, we're given it. I'd like everybody to know that. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. And I get like this because well, I know who and what I am, and I know who and what He is. Okay. So what did Onesimus learn? He learned this, Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be and praised be, that is, the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with every blessing spiritually, every blessing possible spiritually in the upon the heavens in Christ, according as He chose us out in Him before the katabale of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having foreordained us unto the adoption of sons, that's very important, being a son, by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved One, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Blessed with all spiritual blessings possible in the upon the heavens in the Son of God. What does that mean to you? How does that hit you? How does that strike you? How does that move you? How does that compare to other callings? All of these things. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the acknowledgement of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches are of the glory of His inheritance in the Holy of Holies, or in the Holies, and I could add, in the upon the heavens. How does that strike you? And what does that do? And how does that move you in your knowledge of the Lord? This is what Onesimus learned after being judged unprofitable. Ephesians, and I could read more. Ephesians 3, 7 through 10. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who is less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the untrackable or the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you know how fortunate we are to be here at this time? Being not a Jew and not a Gentile and having this Word of God and reading these unspeakable words, we have no idea We have no idea. We have no idea. But I know in the past, Paul said that our sufferings are not even able to be put in the side of and compared with what's ahead of us. You can't even bother even to put it there. That's what's ahead of us. That's what's ahead of us in the Son at the right hand of the Father. Really. And we don't quite nearly understand it. But we have a glimpse, a first fruit of it. We have a sealer, God the Holy Spirit, and we have an earnest of it that we understand. It's awesome. It's beautiful. And to make all see or enlighten all what is the dispensation of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world, has been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This is what Onesimus was learning. The same thing that the Holy Spirit has taught us about the revealed sacred secret, the mystery hidden in God, until it was revealed through the Apostle Paul after Israel was set aside. Those are tremendous facts of life. That's what life's all about. If I go around 7 minutes and 20 seconds, I go around viewing the world, and I come to the conclusion a lot that if you don't understand the Lord, you have no clue about what life's about whatsoever. You have no clue about what life's about. You don't understand any value of human life. You're just procreating, moving on, gaining, dying, passing it on. You know, that's all you're doing. You have no idea why you're here. You have no purpose whatsoever, ever other than gaining and passing it on. And that, if any intelligent mind can take that in, and you can become, if you start thinking about it, hopefully you would come to the knowledge of the Lord. Hopefully that would press you to understand the Lord. Let's turn now. We're almost done here. Hey, give me a one. I'm older. I'm older now, man. Come on. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. We know about this. Actually, let's turn to Colossians 1, 8 through 12. Okay, this is what Onesimus was learning. And I made that point already, but what I'm doing is I'm making points about your calling. Because this is what this unprofitable slave learned. All right? Colossians 1, 8 through 12. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of the Father's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hey, you out there, do you understand the will of the Father, the Almighty God? Yes. Yes, you do. Do you know that you're supposed to be increasing in knowledge and in wisdom of the Almighty God? You are. Yes. Think about that. A lot of times that'll bring about, oh man, I'm kind of failing. But you should understand that that's who you are. Do you understand the will of the Almighty God? Yes, I do. Hey, you're kind of a wacky character. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You're a failure to walk after the living God like you should. That doesn't make you arrogant. That doesn't make you high-minded. But He wants you to understand His will. It's incredible. I can say I understand the will of the Almighty God, the Father. Through the Son's work, through the witness of the Holy Spirit, yes, we do. I think a lot of times the evil one wants to draw our joy away. He does it with me. I get to be a wreck at times as I go on. But that can be good. Going on in verse 10 of Colossians 1, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the Holy of Holies, in the light. I'll put it there. Because if you read in Hebrews, I got 3 minutes and 7 seconds. If you read in Hebrews, the Lord entered into the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies once and for all, didn't he? Even though that's in Hebrews, that's where he entered. That's a fact. That is undeniable. Well, hey, you know what? You are the fullness of that one at the right hand of God. Think about it. What am I trying to tell you? I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the Lord is telling us. We are the fullness of that one that was the one and final perfect sacrifice for mankind. He entered the Holy of Holies once and for all. And we are his fullness. And I think that we're not given big glimpses of that because, one, we might not understand it. And for two, we might get haughty. We might get haughty and we're supposed to be humble. And there's a great lesson there. Have awesome things of the Lord, but you're humble. Look at the Son of God. Look at Paul. Awesome knowledge of the Almighty God that gives breath to all, but meek and humble. That's the way of the Lord. Here's the last 1 minute and 37 seconds. And I will read a compelling scripture to end this Philemon, the book of Philemon. I hope, if nothing else, I pointed out to you that I didn't, years ago, I used to just blow over it. I can admit that. Oh, what's that? But it's a tremendous story. It's a tremendous story about a young believer that had some problems. Two great men of the mystery. He fled from one, went to the other, learned of the mystery, became a son of God, and became a brother to the man that was over him, that rejected him in the beginning. That's tremendous. It is. It is. I can't. I would say, well, I hope you'd go out there and be an Onesimus so you could feel what he did. That's all I can say. But, Colossians 4. verses 7, 8, and 9, and then I'm done. 35 seconds. Man, I might be pretty good after a while. Yeah, let me see if I can end on one. All my state does Tychicus, there is no Y in the Greek, declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Thank you. All right.